Unit 22, Civil and Political Status of Government Employees. Page number 1, Structure. 22.0, Objectives. 22.1, Introduction. 22.2, Political Rights. 22.3, Politicians and Administrators, the Concept of Civil Service Neutrality. 22.4, Relation between Politics and Administration. 22.5, Political Status of Government Employee in Developing Countries. 22.6, Let us sum up. 22.7, Keywords. 22.8, Some Useful Books. Page number 2, Section 22.0, Objectives. After reading this, the student should be able to 1. Understand the position of civil service employee. 2. His relationship with the political executive. 3. Concept of civil service neutrality. And 4. Politics, administration relations. Section 22.1, Introduction. The civil services being the agency through which the sovereign authority of the state is executed. The civil and political status of the services is always a matter of special consideration. On the one hand, a civil servant, in order to serve the people at large, is expected to stand neutral to the opposing policies during performance of his duties and to accept the decided policies of the government as they come. On the other hand, he is a full citizen of the country who is particularly familiar with the issues involved and has views and ideas of his own. In a country where the civil service constitutes a large portion of the national workforce, the deprivation of political rights of the civil servants raises questions of whether or not it is unhealthy and harmful to the nation. Typically, the Indian rules on the rights of the civil servants, especially the political rights, provide that no government servant can be a member of or in any way associated with any political party or any organization which take part in politics, nor can he take part in, subscribe to, or assist in any other manner any political activity. Further, he cannot canvass or use influence in connection with or take part in an election to any legislature or local authority. A civil servant is even expected to dissuade any member of his family from participating in any movement or activity which is legally considered subversive. However, his voting rights are guaranteed, but he cannot indicate his voting preference or disclose his actual voting. Special restrictions are placed on participation in demonstrations or strikes intended to improve his conditions of service. A civil servant cannot be a member of a service association which is not recognized or whose recognition has been withdrawn by the government. Page number 3. Compared to the position of the British civil servants following the acceptance of the recommendations of the Masterman Committee, the Indian practice seems restrictive. Sometimes this policy has been assailed for insisting upon imposition of almost a second-class citizenship on the civil servants in India. It is not considered reasonable to deprive such a sizable group from contributing to the political consciousness and vigilance vital for success of democratic institutions. These critics have held that it is perhaps reasonable to restrict political rights of certain categories of higher civil servants as is done in Great Britain today. The Government of India, however, preferred to find comfort in citing the various restrictions imposed on the civil service in other countries. In addition to the restrictions on political rights, the present rules bar a civil servant from participating in or managing any newspaper or other periodical publication. He is also broadcast from participating in a radio broadcast or contributing any article or publishing any letter, either anonymously or in his own name or in the name of any other person. He is also prohibited from criticizing any policy of the Government of India or from issuing any statement which is capable of embarrassing the relations between the Union Government and a state government or between the Union Government and government of a foreign state, nor is civil servant permitted to give evidence in connection with any inquiry conducted by any agency unless it is approved by the government. But even where it is approved, a civil servant is clearly expected to stay away from criticizing the government. However, these restrictions do not apply to an official inquiry or a parliamentary investigation or any political inquiry. As a rule, government servants are also prohibited from transmitting any official document or information to an unauthorized person. Section 22.2, Political Rights. The political rights of the civil service in modern democratic states are determined by the doctrine of civil service neutrality. The essential feature of a civil servant is his impartiality, and in his public capacity, he is expected to have a mind untinged by political position. The sole duty of the civil servant is to faithfully and efficiently carry out the policies and programs designed for him by the political authority of the state, regardless of whatever party occupies a position of authority. The doctrine, it may be mentioned, is based on the dichotomy of governmental process into politics and administration, decision-making and policy formulation are entirely in the jurisdiction of politics, and policy execution in that of administration. The former has no right to interfere with the activities of the latter, which call for expertise and technical knowledge, and similarly the latter has no business to get interested in political matters. It must observe complete neutrality in political matters and view all administrative problems from the purely technical angle. Page number 4, check your progress 1. Question number 1, explain the political status of government employee. Answer: see sections 22.0, 22.1 and 22.2. Section 22.3, politicians and administrators, the concept of civil service neutrality. The theory of the neutrality of the civil service was developed in England to meet the requirements of the parliamentary system of government, in which the tenure of the political executive is unstable due to periodic elections and the resultant change of government. Political neutrality is an essential complement to the merit system in recruitment and promotion of personnel, for it guarantees that the civil servants who have been recruited and promoted by merit will give the minister, whatever be his political complexion, impartial advice and criticism whenever he needs it. Further, it assures the ministers that irrespective of the personal likes or dislikes of his subordinate officials, the ultimate decisions of the minister will be faithfully implemented by the civil servants. Political neutrality means not only the absence of political activity or bias on the part of civil servants, but also that they will serve every government that comes to power irrespective of its party affiliations. The main reason for the advocacy of civil service neutrality is that the civil servant can serve the changing governments drawn from different parties with the same vigor and honesty. Since execution, not formulation, is a task of the civil servant, any commitment other than to the goals and objectives of his allotted tasks will defeat the very purpose for which he exists. Besides exercising his voted rights, if he engages in partisan politics, his role as an impartial advisor and administrator would be seriously impaired in the eyes of the public. Page number 5. If the administration is to work efficiently and smoothly and the governmental objectives are to be achieved satisfactorily, the ministry and its subordinate officials must work in cooperation and harmony. There should be mutual faith and trust. Ministers should not interfere too much in day-to-day administration. Commenting on the minister-civil servant relationship, the Administrative Reforms Commission laid down the following norms. A. The obligation of every public servant to implement faithfully all policies and decisions of the ministers, even if these be contrary to the advice tendered by him. B. The freedom of public servants to express themselves frankly in tendering advice to their superiors, including the minister. And C. The observance by public servants of the principles of political neutrality, impartiality and anonymity. It expressed the view that due to differing backgrounds and interests of ministers and their secretaries, the desired emotional unison and unity of purpose is still to be realized. It is the minister who remains constitutionally responsible for his department to the parliament. Historically speaking, the doctrine of civil service neutrality is a product of the British parliamentary system. It represents a particular stage in the development of the political party system of British government. The civil servant should serve loyally the government in power, no matter what its party complexion is. Parliamentary democracy aims at a harmonious combination between the amateur politician and the expert administrator. The former represents the current trends of public opinion and is accordingly subject to periodical and even sudden fluctuations, while the latter represents expertise and experience and is accordingly permanent. In order to keep this combination harmonious and fruitful, it was felt necessary to politically sterilize the civil servant so that he would remain unconcerned with the party complexion or the government in power and would be dependent upon to serve any government with equal devotion and enthusiasm. Dictates of expediency also tended to uphold the doctrine. An efficient and permanent body of expert career administrators could be more efficiently built if sole credence was given to the merit, principle and political or other consideration were excluded from its composition and management. Page number 6. But the requirements of public administration cannot, in the modern democratic state, justify the complete deprivation of a substantial section of the citizenry of its fundamental rights. The civil servants are citizens like all others and have an equal claim to share in the civic and political life of the nation. Nor can it be good statesmanship to totally exclude from public life a class of citizens which is comparatively more educated and certainly better informed of public affairs. Therefore, a compromise has to be established between the doctrine of political neutrality and the fundamental right of every citizen to take part in the civil and political life of the community. even on practical grounds, complete political sterilization of the civil servants is not good. This tends to produce among them an attitude of indifference to the impact of administrative activities. They lost all interest in the results produced by their activities and concerned themselves merely with the execution thereof. A negative and mechanical attitude on the part of the civil servants might work well in a police state where the administration work is of a regulatory and restrictive type only. In the modern dynamic state, such an attitude on the part of the civil servants will be disastrous to the social and economic welfare of the government. The dynamics of a democratic welfare state call for, on the part of all citizens, not excluding the civil servants, a living faith in democratic values and a spirit of dedication to public interest. The policy in the USA is more restrictive on the political activities of civil servants. The country has taken a swing from the spoils system to the merit system and is now passing through a transitional stage. Civil servants enjoy, like other citizens, the right to vote and to express their opinions on all political subjects and candidates, but they cannot take an active part in political management or political campaigns. They can neither be members of political parties nor can they stand in legislative elections. There are also limitations on their right to organize and on the use of organized pressure to further the interest of membership, particularly in association with partisan groups. They can be members only of the recognized staff associations. Several other countries like France, Italy, Western Germany and Japan put similar restrictions upon the political activities of their civil servants. On the other hand, there are countries like Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland and Hungary which allow almost all political rights to their civil servants. Page number 7. The system in India is more in tune with that of USA than England. The civil servants have the right to vote in parliamentary and local elections. They can neither be members of any political party nor aid or assist in any other manner any political movement or activity. They cannot stand many parliamentary or state legislative elections nor canvass any person's candidature. It has, however, been held by the law courts that the government servant can propose or second a person for purpose of nomination or can even act as a polling agent in an election. While he has an unqualified right to vote, he is to exercise it as, in quotes, to give no indication of the manner in which he proposes to vote or has voted, close quotes. He cannot collect funds or sell tickets even for non-political bodies. He can, however, offer himself for election to a local body with the previous permission of the government. Check your progress too. Question number 1. Explain the concept of civil service neutrality. Answer: see section 22.3. Section 22.4, relation between politics and administration. The main function of a political system is the formulation and implementation of public policy through the mobilization of national resources and their allocation for the attainment of societal goals. The capability of a political system refers to the capacity of both the policy and government to meet increasing heavy demands and challenges, the loads they are able to bear, and their output in terms of policies, decisions and implementations. Page number 8, in the words of Peter Self, in quotes, the political process deals with the input of demands and the administrative process with the output of services. The former process moves upwards, embracing the claims of successively broader constituencies, while the latter process moves downwards, disaggregating laws and general policies into specific operations. Both processes can be said to have become more pluralistic in the sense that influences and decisions have become more diffused, and that in most Western democracies, more contacts occur between the two processes. Close quotes. The influence and impact of the political system on the administrative system is great due to the close relation between policies and administration in all societies. Check your progress 3. Question number 1. Explain the relationship between politics and administration. Answer: see section 22.4. Section 22.5, political status of government employee in developing countries. A significant feature of the political system of developing countries is the increasingly central role that their governments and bureaucracy have come to play in the program of development. The very concept of government is undergoing a fundamental change in these countries. Not only has its role changed from governance by coercion to that of administration of public affair, but its activities are also assuming a new range and depth. Whether democratic or authoritarian, the governments of developing countries are playing a key role in stimulating, programming and implementing development activity. Therefore, the growth of the state capacity to give a purposeful direction to socio-economic change is a crucial dimension of the capability function of the political system of the developing states. Page number 9. In the cabinet system, as it evolved in Great Britain, a clear demarcation was made between the political executive, the ministers, and the permanent administrators. The political executive normally performed the following functions. 1. Represented the government policy within the administration. 2. Brought the viewpoint of the general public to bear on the administrative decisions. 3. Provided leadership in developing national policy. 4. Exercised statutory powers vested in them. On the other hand, the functions of the career administrators are the following. 1. Execution of laws and government decisions. 2. Providing expert guidance, information and managerial assistance to the political executive where necessary. 3. Maintaining the continuity of administration. 4. Helping the political executive to understand the probable consequences of alternative courses of action. The points of difference between the political and administrative officers do not end here. A minister is an amateur in administration. His office is of a temporary nature and he is more in touch with the public. He plays a key role in formulating policy and has a partisan outlook. On the other hand, a career official is a professional in administrative affairs and enjoys permanent tenure. His contacts with the public are much less and his main task is to execute policy without dabbling in active politics. He is expected to be non-partisan and politically neutral. However, the traditional concept of civil service neutrality is undergoing a change, particularly in the developing countries, under the impact of many factors. The doctrine of civil service neutrality represents a particular stage in the development of the party system of government. An important factor bearing on this question is the pivotal role the civil servants are being called upon to play in the developing countries. The successful implementation of developmental tasks requires on the part of administrators not only qualities of initiative and leadership, but emotional and intellectual commitment to the social welfare values adhered to by the state as well. Page number 10. The relevance of the classical theory of neutrality has often come to be questioned for the following reasons. A. The processes of policy decision-making are no longer confined to the political executive. They percolate through the entire fabric of government, resulting in inescapable items of delegation and zones of such policy where the political executive does not come into the picture at all, and yet the decision reflects the ethos of the party in power. B. The leadership role of public bureaucracy is explicit in all political systems, but is more pronounced in the setting of developing countries. In the context of large-scale welfare programs, neutrality is neither possible nor desirable. A certain commitment to the goals and objectives of the state is inescapable. Neutrality cannot be allowed to degenerate into disinterestedness. C. In the sphere of policy, advice and execution, modern bureaucracy takes an active part. D. At the top levels, even the performance appraisal of public bureaucracy is done by political heads and an element of political assessment is bound to creep into such an assessment. E. As a human being, no civil servant can be psychologically neutral on issues and problems which confront him. He is a product of his upbringing and a certain subjective element from his judgments cannot be eradicated. Therefore, the only acceptable connotation for this doctrine seems to be an idea of non-partisanship and impartiality in the sense that where the civil servants are implementing a body of statutory laws and regulations, they shall act impartially and not carry into these operations any political considerations which are not contemplated in the statutory law. However, for the large bulk of their activity, that is, non-statutory, a new doctrine is necessary to suit the modern times. The absence of a better phraseology, what should shape the attitudes of the civil servants now is a doctrine of political responsiveness, which may have the broad name of commitment. Check your progress 4. Question number 1. What is the political status of government employees in developing countries? Answer: see section 22.5. Page number 11, section 22.6. Let us sum up. The status of civil servant vis-a-vis the politicians and the larger political setup has been a bone of contention for a long time now. This is because of the apparently dual role is expected to play. On the one hand, he is expected to be committed to basic law and the spirit of the land. On the other hand, he is asked to be neutral as far as the political ideology is concerned. His or her position becomes extremely delicate when serving in a democratic setup. This is especially so in a developing democratic country where political interference in administration has been a norm. Various views have been expressed as to what should be the ideal relationship between politics and administration in India. The larger conscience has been that while the civil servant should be committed to his work, within the constitutional framework, he has to keep a neutral stand as far as his political views are concerned. Section 22.7, keywords. Assailed means attack suddenly. Dichotomy means division into two. Affiliation means adopting. Impair means damage. Dabble means interfere. Percolate means filter. Section 22.8, some useful books. Public Administration by C.P. Bambri. Personal System for Development Administration by V.A. Pai Panadikar. Public Administration by L.D. White. Page number 12, blank page.